Bonjour tout le monde. C'est mon plaisir d'être ici pour faire rendre hommage de Dr. Brossard. Malheureusement, mon français n'est pas assez bon pour donner le séminaire en français et je dois parler anglais, excusez-moi. So, you can see this is the title of my talk, and I think that most of you can understand it probably a little bit better than myself. But in my laboratory, we're interested in the mechanism of action of anti-D. How does anti-D prevent hemolytic disease of the newborn? So I think as you all are aware, in hemolytic disease of the newborn, we have the fetal cells entering the maternal circulation at different times, and somehow this stimulates an immune response to the RhD antigen in this particular case. So what happens in the immune system that actually stimulates this immune response? So I like to think of the immune system as a big party where you have many cells. Down here you have lymphocytes, and here you have a cell called an antigen presentation cell. So when you have a bleed of the fetal cells enter into the party, and this cell here, which we'll call, it's also known as a dendritic cell, or a DC, and this dendritic cell has, it's called dendritic because it has these long arms, kind of like neurons, that are able to reach out and grab foreign particles, for example, a red blood cell. And the dendritic cell pulls the cells into itself, sometimes on the surface, sometimes inside, and then presents the antigens from these cells to the immune system. So, for example, T cells play a very important role in starting an immune system response. And, of course, the B cells are the ones that make the antibody, but they also speak to the dendritic cells. So what actually, at a smaller level, is really going on that would happen with erythrocyte alloimmunization? So down here we have our dendritic cell, and this would be a model, for example, of the fetal red cells that enter into the dendritic cell. The fetal cells go inside these vesicles, where the dendritic cell is able to cut the cell into small pieces, small peptides. And these small peptides get expressed on the surface of the dendritic cell with MHC class II, HLA-DR. And if a T helper cell happens to be nearby the dendritic cell and has a T cell receptor that has specificity for these peptides, the T helper cell will become stimulated and will start to make cytokines and try to help the immune response. So not only is this T cell receptor important, but there's something else that's critical called co-stimulation. In addition to this primary signal, there must be many other interactions between the dendritic cell and the T cell to stimulate the T cell to make an immune response. And down here is an example of just one of these co-stimulatory molecules, CD80 and CD28, that interact in a lock and key fashion between the two cells. So while these two cells are kissing each other with the antigen, the B cell also sees the fetal red cells or sees the foreign erythrocytes. And if the B cell contacts the erythrocyte with the B cell receptor, this stimulates or primes the B cell. And together with help from the T cell, we get antibody being produced. Of course, it's much more complicated than this in reality. But this is the fundamental basics of what happens in erythrocyte alloimmunization. So how do we prevent this alloimmunization? So I think you all know, probably better than I do, that when you end up having a situation where you have an Rh-negative mother and an Rh-positive fetus, the mother is given anti-D, and the concept is that the anti-D sensitizes or coats the fetal red cells in the mother, and this somehow stops the immune response from occurring. We still do not know the precise mechanism of action of how anti-D works, and so unfortunately I can't tell you this is how it works. We can only talk about hypotheses. What hypotheses do we think today are the most likely? I think in addition to just looking for the one hypothesis, what is also important is to know that there are many factors. So in this work where Dr. Brassard played a role, they looked, for example, at the affinity of anti-D, both in the mothers, as well as the immunoglobulin preparations. And I think that's really something that's important to understand all of the things that are occurring in your model system. So for example, the affinity of the antibody, the binding sites might be very important. Can an anti-D antibody that binds to one part of the D antigen, can that protect an immune response to other parts of the D antigen? What about the Fc function and glycosylation? And I think these things are always important to consider. So how does anti-D prevent the immune response in that mother? I'm not going to talk about everything, but some wonderful work done by Stern in 1956 with male volunteers. Stern showed that male volunteers could be much more easily immunized to Rh if the blood was ABO compatible. And Levine in 1958 found that if a mother had circulating ABO antibody against the baby's red cells, then Rh immunization was uncommon. In addition, Clark in 1963 found that immunization was prevented in male volunteers in whom 95% of the injected red cells were cleared by 24 hours. So all of these studies together, plus others that I'm not mentioning, gave rise to something that's known as the antigen clearance hypothesis or the red cell clearance hypothesis. And the idea here is that the antibody removes the red cells before the mother's immune system can see the red cells. Something that's actually very reasonable, and today is still one of the hypotheses of how anti-D works. So I'm going to switch now a little bit to some mouse work that was done in our laboratory. It was a new mouse model that was just published earlier this year. We don't have an RhD antigen in the mouse that we have available to us that we can study. And so when we talk about mouse studies, we can't say anti-D. We can only say an anti-D-like effect. And so in the mouse, the model system is called antibody-mediated immune suppression, or AMIS, and that's the name given to this by somebody else. So what can we learn from a mouse model? Up until recently, not very much, because unfortunately the mouse models were not very sophisticated. One had to inject mice with red cells from a sheep, and of course, as you know, sheep are very different from mice. The red cells don't stay in the circulation. If you inject a mouse with sheep red blood cells, within 30 seconds, the sheep red blood cells are all gone. But a collaborator of ours, Dr. Jim Zimring, shown here, developed a mouse model where they designed mice that had a transgene that allowed the red cells to express the human Duffy antigen in sequence with another protein called OVA, and this is the major protein that is found in egg white, and another antigen that's known to immunologists called hen egg lysozyme, or HEL. And this is a wonderful model because if you take red cells from these mice and you inject them into another mouse, the red cells stay in circulation and there is not a strong immune response. There is an antibody response, and the antibody response is directed only to the HEL portion of the molecule. So it's a very interesting molecule. And the reason why we decided to use this as a model system to understand how might an antibody like anti-D work is because we have available to us many monoclonal antibodies that recognize different portions of the molecule. So we can use a single monoclonal antibody to try to downregulate the immune system that binds to the immunological part of the molecule. We have antibodies that bind to the Duffy antigen that do not make an immune response in this model. And we have antibodies of different IgG isotypes, and so we can look at whether or not the binding site is important in downregulating the response. Is the isotype important? Is red cell clearance important? And many other questions. So this is Dr. Honggui Yu, who did the study I'm going to talk about. I won't talk too much about mice. And he published this paper just a little bit less than a year ago. And in this paper, again, we can't say anti-D, but we are looking at antibody-mediated immune suppression of erythrocyte aluminization in this model. So what he found, I'll show you only one summary of the work. Each one of these lines is a different antibody preparation where we try to decrease the immune response. So line number one would be the general equivalent to anti-D. It's a polyclonal antibody. It reacts to the major immunogenic portion of the molecule, and it induces a strong suppression or a strong AMIS response. This stands for antibody-mediated immune suppression. And each of the other lines down here represent individual monoclonal antibodies. Some of them bind to the henneglycoszyme. Some of them bind to Duffy loop 3. Others bind to Duffy loop 6. You can see they are different IgG isotypes. Some of the antibodies cause very rapid red cell clearance. Some of the antibodies cause no clearance. And all of the antibodies were capable of downregulating the immune response. So that tells us that using this very strange model, that the isotype is probably not critical, as well as some other things, and I won't talk about all of them. But the one thing that we found in the model, I think that is important, is that we found that we could get immune suppression independently from red cell clearance or epitope masking. And so in this paper, again, it's not the D antigen, it's a mouse model, we found that red cell clearance was not necessary for decreasing the alloimmunization. So since red cell clearance was not required in the mice, let's now take another look at some of the human studies that have been done to see whether or not we should stick with the same interpretation that we always have had. So I think the strongest paper to suggest that red cell clearance is probably involved in the mechanism of action of anti-D was some wonderful work that was done by Woodrow et al., where they took 62 male volunteers that were RHD negative and KEL negative and split them into two groups. The first group of men got D positive, KEL positive red blood cells. And the second group got the same D-positive, KEL-positive red blood cells, but also now got anti-KEL. Not anti-D, but they got anti-KEL. And this is the immunization rate of the patients for making anti-D antibody. So you can see that 11 out of 31 of the males made anti-D antibody. But when these were given anti-KEL, now this caused a strong suppression of the response to anti-D. So we know that D and KEL are on separate antigens, and it's not really possible that there would be epitope masking. It must be something else. And so at the same time when they did this study, they also found that the suppression of the anti-D response was accompanied by rapid clearance of the red cells to the spleen. So certainly this could indicate that red cell clearance might be occurring. And so this supports the antigen clearance hypothesis. However, if we now today look at the surface of a red cell, originally the idea on the red cell was that all of these proteins were just floating freely on the surface of the red cell, that none of them were really connected in any way. And for example, the RHD antigen is a separate polypeptide, a separate protein from KEL. However, the modern version of what is on the red cell is more like this. Red cells predominantly have their molecules in, I like to think of them as islands. So for example, in this island, with a adducin down here, we have RHD actually associated with the KEL antigen, as well as associated with a variety of other proteins. So I told you before that in our mouse model, the immune response occurs to the HEL part of the molecule, whereas we can cause downregulation of the immune response with antibodies located very far away. I think it's also worth considering that perhaps the close proximity of the RHD and KEL might also be close enough to cause a linked suppression. In fact, if you look at earlier work in animal models with very, very different models, the first really nice publication was way back in 1968 in a Nature paper, where they found that antibodies to the Forstmann antigen could actually inhibit the immune response to a separate antigen called the isophile antigen. I don't think that you really have to have the two proteins linked together, or they can be linked together. Is that it? Is there any other reason why we might think that red cell clearance may be more of a marker of a successful AMIS event rather than the primary mechanism? So this is a paper by Sampson and Mollison published back in 1975. And here what they did is they took male volunteers that were injected with 100 micrograms of anti-D, 13 days after the red cells. So these particular patients were exposed to the D antigen for a full 13 days before they ever got anti-D, and all of these were suppressed. So of course that cannot be rapid red cell clearance. Another paper by Lubenko, published in 1999, and I don't think the clearance versus non-clearance mechanism was not really, that's not the idea of this paper. What they were trying to do, I think, was look at different patients, find out what the bleed was. So here's a patient that had a red cell bleed of 168.9 milliliters. I don't know that much about fetal blood volume, but that seems like a lot to me. They received the correct amount of anti-D, and in fact, the red cells were dramatically reduced. But some of the patients, for example, down here, patient 17, here's a patient that had a 16 mil bleed, got the correct amount of anti-D, and 10 days after, there were still 4 mils of fetal blood in this person, and she delivered a successful pregnancy, and the next pregnancy apparently was also successful. So to me, this kind of causes us to question a little bit whether or not red cell clearance is a fundamental property of anti-D, or whether or not it's just a good way to determine if an anti-D works well or not. And I think finally, studies that were reviewed very nicely by Clark in 1989 from the British group showed that IgM anti-D, which can cause clearance of red cells, actually did not work. It did not protect against Rh immunization. So to conclude, anti-D is highly effective in preventing hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn. Inhibition, at least in our very contrived Frankenstein mouse model, inhibition of alluminization can potentially extend beyond the epitope which the antibody binds. So if a monoclonal is used that binds somewhere on that antigen, it has the ability of downregulating the immune response to the other parts of the molecule. Accelerated red cell clearance, I think, is a good marker of a potential suppressive ability, but it may actually not play a fundamental role in its actual suppressive activity. It might be just more of a marker. So I'd like to thank the members of my lab, I'd like to thank my collaborators, and I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Merci beaucoup.